Good evening and welcome to our evening worship service, and we welcome George and Susan back with us. This evening, our consideration of the Lord's Prayer. We come to the fifth petition, the second last of the two petitions with regard to our spiritual blessing. And God willing, when we do return, then we will finish up the rest. I do not know when. We just commit this to the Lord and in prayer and learn to patiently wait upon His answer. So, at our last study, I mentioned that the first three petitions in the Lord's Prayer concern the glory of God, concern the name of God, and how we ought to venerate the name of God, how we ought to exalt and show reverence to God and His name, even in our prayers, that we do not rush into the throne room of God with all our petitions and requests, but rather to acknowledge that we are coming before a thrice holy God who is our Creator, created us in His image and for His service. And so the last three petitions are in respect of our blessings. I also mentioned that the order of the last three petition is placed in such a way to teach us that the Lord in His infinite wisdom knows best and sees fit to first necessarily give us what is needful to promote life and health. Otherwise, the spiritual blessings that follow will be of no use if there is no physical life in the first place. In our meditation of the fifth petition this evening, I'd like us to observe another important principle for our prayer life, and that is, spiritual blessings are of greater worth than those blessings for our physical bodies, though necessary and important. And why do I say that? I want us to see here. Keep your Bibles open to the fifth petition. And you will see here in the Lord's Prayer that there is only one petition for the body. Give us our daily bread. And what follows? Whereas there are two petitions for the soul. Forgive us our trespasses and lead us not into temptation. You see that? So, this is to show us, the Lord is trying to teach us, to teach His disciple and teach all of us, that we are to be more careful for our souls than for our bodies, which will perish in the end. More careful for the grace than for daily bread. But always, we in our fallen nature reverse the order, isn't it? We care so much of our bodies, how we look, how we dress, what we use for our bodies. And I have mentioned this before in, I think not only here, but back in the Vancouver church. If you make a careful observation around us, not only here, but in all the high streets and downtown, lots of what? All these gyms, a beauty parlor or salon, whatever you want to call it. All these are asking for your this fingernails. I don't know whether there's toenails. I don't know. Maybe they have that too. And then next moment, if you see in Singapore, you have all those toe massage, reflexology for your health through the toe, that they massage everything from top to our leg. All that you want and you are willing to pay for it. They have it. There's so much concern about this, isn't it? It's the me, I, and my philosophies of this world. And so here, this is to show us that we are to be more careful for our souls than for our bodies. More careful for grace than for daily bread. And that we should desire more to have our souls saved, delivered from sin, and bondage of sin, guilt of sin, then our body's fat. Thomas Watson says this, spiritual things must be of far greater weight with us than earthly, because the earth, in the end, will be dissolved and burn up. Our bodies will be gone, and we will put on the new bodies. So in seeking to understand the principles of the fifth petition, we want to begin by looking at the connection of the fifth petition with that of the preceding petition, namely the fourth petition. The Lord Jesus, soon after teaching us the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, adds, forgive us our debts. Christ joins the fourth and the fifth petition so immediately is to show us that though we have our daily bread, and this I have also mentioned before, though we are promised that God will meet all our daily needs, yet all this food is nothing without forgiveness from God. It's nothing without forgiveness of God. If our sins are not forgiven or not pardoned, our food will be of little comfort, isn't it, to us, when God's wrath hangs over our head like a skeleton while the food is in our mouth. Just as a condemned man takes little comfort from the best food you bring him in prison, without a pardon, so though we have daily food, yet it will do us no good unless sin be forgiven. Brethren, daily bread may satisfy the appetite, but forgiveness of sin satisfies the conscience, the soul, which is far more important, because the soul will live forever. I want to give this another illustration to bring up this point of the blessing of the Lord, the blessing to enjoy what God provides for us. I'm sure you all have come across situation or heard about it, that in a marriage between the two person, and it would be very sad, isn't it, if either side, whether the guy or the girl, do not receive a blessing from their parents, meaning to say their parents do not approve of that marriage. How would you feel? Especially those of us who are married or planning to get married or in a relationship. You do not have that blessing from your parents. It's a world of difference, isn't it? If your parents give you that approval for your marriage, it adds great joy to it, isn't it? There's nothing hanging over. It's sort of like complete, perfect in that sense. Nothing to behind, like something haunting you or hanging over your above your head. But if you have the blessing from your parents who raise you up, who fed you, who gave birth to you, that adds to it, isn't it? And same here, what I'm trying to bring up. You can have the best food. You can have all your daily needs. But if there is no forgiveness of sin and God's wrath hang over you, yes, you can still have the best food. No enjoyment of it. Just like a prisoner in prison, without the pardon, you can give him the best food, he will not able to enjoy. We move on next to look at the term debt in the fifth petition. Forgive our debt. The debt here, or called here in Matthew 6:12, is referring to our sin as it is explained in Luke 11:14. Luke 11:14 describe our debt as sin. So sin is compared to a debt of 10,000 talents in Matthew 18 verse 24. So then, sin is a debt and every sinner is a debtor. Why is sin called a debt? And this is a very fitting term, because a debt denotes what? Denotes a non-payment of money, or it denotes the not paying that which is one's due. That is the meaning of a debt. We owe to God, our Creator, exact obedience, but we fail. And not paying what is due means we are in debt. In the case of non-payment, what happened to the debtor? He or she goes to prison. So by our sin, we become guilty. And therefore we are exposed to God's curse of damnation. Though He grants a sinner a reprieve for a time, yet he or she remains bound to eternal death if the debt of sin be not forgiven. Our sins and the guilt of sin rob us of God's blessing, isn't it? To enjoy the food or any other blessing He so graciously spread before us each day. And therefore, when we pray for our daily bread, we are to pray likewise for the pardon of our sins, so that the partition between God and us may be removed, and His blessing, being no longer obstructed by our guilt, may descend down freely and plentifully upon us. You see how wonderful the Lord shows us here through this Lord's Prayer. And oftentimes we don't consider this, isn't it? We just go for the food just to feed ourselves. But we miss something that we don't realize it. We need that blessing to enjoy the food or any other blessing that the Lord bestowed upon. You can have a big house. You can have lots of money in the bank. You can hold strings of degree. You may hold a high position in the society, and everyone will bow to you when they see you. But you do not have that blessing from the Lord. It's of no use to you. You know, sometimes when you watch over the news or in the TV or the magazines, you see all these famous people, all these celebrities, all these VIPs, they come with their entourage. And they think that, I don't know whether they thought about it, maybe they do. They think that all these people are giving them respect because they of them. No. They are not showing them true respect and giving them honor from their heart. They are serving or honoring them because they have something back in return. But yet they foolishly buff themselves in all this glamour, thinking that people are really loving them, loving to see their shows or hearing their songs. But that is all vanity, isn't it? It is all hypocrisy. Without pardon of sin, all our temporal enjoyments in this life are but snares and curses unto us. It brings judgment rather than blessing. Why do I say that? We learn this in our study of the book of Romans. The more the Lord bless you, the long suffering of the Lord should bring you to repentance, but yet you spurn it. And so the Lord bless you daily, but you did not acknowledge His blessing, and your sins are not forgiven. So you are like, as what Paul says, built up or gave proofs or built up evidence for God to judge you later on because of your sin. So it brings judgment rather than blessing, even though we have the best of the food or whatever health or wealth that we have. The third thing we need to consider in this petition is confession. Forgive us. Forgive us as we forgive others. After we prayed for the supply of our physical and bodily needs for the day to maintain our life and health, we need to confess our sins. Let us acknowledge that we are debtors to God, both as His creatures and offenders. On the one hand, we owe God the debt of obedience. On the other hand, the debt of punishment. So as God's redeemed people, by the confession of our sin, we give glory to God. Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him." Joshua 7:19. If we confess the debt, God will forgive it, just as He promised. If we confess our sins, He is just to forgive. 1 John 1:9. The psalmist likewise exhorts us to confess our debt or our sin, and God will cross it out from His ledger. Psalm 32 verse 5 says this, "I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin." But let us also remember, it is not just mere confession. It is confession from the heart. And not only confession of the heart, it carries with it what? True repentance. Meaning to say, turning away from your sin. It's not just a mere confession, but repentance of our sin. With the help of the Holy Spirit, which I have brought up this morning. Let us strive to get our spiritual debt paid by Christ, our surety. We who are the offenders of the Creator God has nothing to pay. In fact, even if you try to pay, it is not enough to satisfy, to appease the wrath of God. Only the sacrifice of His Son, only the blood of Christ will appease the wrath of God. And so therefore let us strive to get our spiritual debt paid by Christ, not by our good works. But He will accept. He will accept a surety. Believe in Christ's blood, which He has shed for you on the cross, and your debt is paid. Fourthly, we shall consider the condition in the fifth petition, as we forgive our debtors. The condition, as we forgive our debtors. And this is an important point I want to highlight. And that is this. Please note that here, it is not that our forgiving others is not a cause of God's forgiving us. Meaning to say, God will forgive only when you forgive others. It is not the cause of God's forgiving us, but it is a condition without which He will not forgive us. It is not a cause, but it is a condition. Looking at this last part of the fifth petition, the word "as" is important. As here, A-S, needs an explanation for our proper understanding of this text. The word "as" is not a note of equality, but similitude. Meaning to say, not that we equal God in forgiving, but to imitate Him, to follow His model, to follow His example. This great duty of forgiving others is contrary to our flesh and blood. We fallen sinners, even for those of us who are born again Christians, saved from our sins, we do not naturally and easily forgive each other. Is it not true? If we are honest with ourselves. Therefore, the Lord Jesus is teaching us here that as much as we need forgiveness or desire forgiveness from God, in order that we might enjoy the blessing He bestows upon us, we ought also likewise to forgive those who hurt us and wrong us. And may I add, brethren, not only to forgive, but to forget. Because why? What does the psalmist tell us? He forgive us of our sins and remember our sins no more. So you see, either which way you cannot escape. I remember someone said something like this. I think it must be Brother Mark Chan. But I suppose he also quoted, learned it from another pastor, and then we do exchange all this illustration for our sermons. You know, there's this person who said that told the pastor that I cannot forgive my wife, or I cannot forgive her. Then the pastor said, you must forgive because she is your wife. No, I cannot. And then after that, you must forgive because the Bible says that you ought to forgive. And he came up with a lot of excuses and answers. Then finally the pastor said, you must forgive her. Why? Then the husband asked, because the Bible also says that you ought to love your enemies. So, brethren, there is no escape for us. Whatever excuses you want to make, the Bible has the answer for you. Either which way you turn. Men and women, which means all of us, we forget the kindnesses, isn't it? But we are so quick to do what? So quick to remember injuries. How true. Many a times we find ourselves recalling those injuries done to us so vividly, so clearly, and we wipe out clean those kindnesses that and good that the same person has done to us, to hurt us. We forget. We remember the person who injured us, all the injuries, and we forget this same person who blessed us. We forget all that blessing from this same person who now hurts us, isn't it? That's how we are. But here we are told that we ought to forgive. Though we are bound, and this is for those who are easily fall prey to trust people easily, though we are bound not to gullibly trust others, especially our enemies, but we are bound to forgive others, even our enemies. We are instructed to do what? Return evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Pray for those who despise us and pray for those who persecute us and despitefully use us. It is difficult, brethren, but look at the example of Christ, which I want to give to you later on. But the command from our Lord Jesus to the believers is, when ye stand praying, forgive. Mark 11:25. And likewise the exhortation from the Apostle Paul, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Colossians 3:13. It is not going to be easy. Remember I said this morning, the old man, the old nature in us, we will fight. Should I forgive? No. Oh, this is too hurting. Too much. I have already forgiven once. And that's what Peter asked of the Lord, isn't it? How many times must I forgive? You know the answer, brethren. But here, you see, as I mentioned earlier, we can never equal God in forgiving others. Nevertheless, He has set us an example to follow in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can forgive. Therefore, we are to resemble or to imitate God. He is ever ready to forgive. Psalm 86 verse 5 tells us that. Look at the example, the model of our Lord Jesus. He befriends His enemies. He opens His hand to relieve those who open their mouth against Him. It was Adam's pride to imitate God in omniscience. He wanted to be like as God. But it is lawful for us to resemble God, to imitate God in forgiving our enemies. Forgiveness, brethren, is a God-like disposition. And what is godliness? Have we not learned that? What is godliness? It is godlikeness. Godliness, to be godly, or to put on Christ, is to be Christ-like. To forgive is one of the highest evidences of grace. When grace does its work in the heart, it makes a man or a woman or a child as Caleb of another spirit. Numbers 14, 24. Quoting from Thomas Watson again, he says this: when the sinner is engrafted into Christ, partakes of the sap of the heavenly olive, and bears sweet and generous fruit, he is full of love to his enemies, and requite good for evil. End of quote. The best example we are to follow is the Lord Jesus Christ, who exemplifies what true forgiveness is. And I hope you can do some reflection on that. How Christ forgave others. When His enemies reviled Him, He took pity upon them. They spat upon Him, pierced Him with the spear and nails, but He prayed for them, "Father, forgive them." He wept over His enemies. He shed tears for those that shed His blood. Yes, we will never be able to match or equal the Lord Jesus in forgiving. But He has set us an example. There is no other supreme pattern of amazing kindness than what Christ has shown. And now the Lord Jesus bids us who are His children to learn of Him. Did you notice in all the teaching of the Lord Jesus, He does not command us to learn of Him to work miracles? And yet, how foolishly we all go after these gifts of miraculous healing that you hear of in many of these churches. Do you notice that? In all the teachings of the Lord Jesus, He does not command us to learn of Him to work miracles, but He would have us learn of Him to forgive our enemies. Matthew 11:29, "Learn of Me." If we do not imitate Christ's life, we cannot be saved by His death. If we are to have the peace of God and have peace with God, if we are to have the blessing of enjoying our daily bread and to enjoy all the other blessings, material blessings that the Lord so graciously bestowed upon us, whether be it our house, our car, our career or whatever, If we are to have the blessing of enjoying our daily bread and all these other material blessings, and to have our debts of sin forgiven, and also to have our prayers reach the throne of grace, the only way, brethren, to obtain all this and many more blessings is to learn the principle of this fifth petition. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we imitate Christ in forgiving others, even our enemies, then we have the assurance of verse 14. Please look at verse 14. If ye forgive men their trespasses, what happened? Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Brethren, if we are to secure God's forgiveness for ourselves, then we must first forgive others. If we are to enjoy the blessings of our daily food, our daily supply, let us not forget to forgive, to make this our prayer. So may the Lord help us as we wrap up this brief study of the fifth petition. And God willing, later on, we will look at the sixth petition and the last part of the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, eternal, loving Father, we thank you for your word, this new and living way that you have given to us. But yet at the same time, Father in heaven, we do not deny the fact that we are weak and we find ourselves so often unwilling to forgive because of this subtle pride in us. Our ego is hurt, our chauvinism, especially for the men, and our unwillingness, and also our failure to see and to understand how much God has forgiven us and continue to forgive us every day, every moment of our lives. We think so highly of ourselves, and that is why we are not willing to forgive. And not only not willing to forgive, we continue to harbor this evil thoughts of revenge, of resentment against those who hurt us. Oh, Father, give grace to us and strength as you have revealed your word to us. We ask that you will give us grace and strength, not only to forgive those who wrong and hurt us, but give us grace and strength to forget, because, Lord, we remember that you no longer remember our sins. As far as from the east to the west, you have removed our sins and our iniquities from us. Oh, Father, help us to daily bear in mind this, of the great sins that we have done against you, and yet you are ever willing to forgive. Oh, Lord, give us grace as you have given us your word. We desire to keep your commandments and to walk in your ways, but we need your strength. We need your grace to overcome. Oh, Father, help us, we pray. Help us to return evil with good, to overcome evil with good. Help us, O Lord, to pray for those who persecute us, who despitefully use us. O Father, give us grace and strength in this new week. Lord, help us that we may live for you and live to the praise and glory of your holy name in the new week. In Jesus' name, Amen.